You're listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 86.
Something kind of vertigo going on here. I've been seeing fables in my dreams. I've been laying scalped out here for hours in this swamp in New Orleans. I've been reading spells from books of magic, trying just to help less trails to you. Feeling like a loser, so, so tragic. Feeling like I'm left to preach at fools. All the time spent moving, oh so slow. It's something kind of vertigo.
Welcome, it's the beginning of another edition of V for Vertigo, where I'm in the air everywhere, streaming on the vast world wide web. And this podcast is one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark, and tonight on APM Basketball with Jim, Good, and Tom Johnson. In this week's spoiler-filled review, we'll cover Why the Last Man, Ring of Truth by Brian K. Vaughan and Pia Guerrera. And did you all miss me? I'll take your silence as a no. Sorry I didn't record last week. I got a little lazy. It was weird. Like, I had a tournament to go to on Sunday, and Sunday's when I normally record. Ironically, I have another tournament to go to on Sunday. Damn, I'm L5R'd out. I did win, by the way. But I told myself on Saturday, I was like, okay, I'm going to record and clean my apartment and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't get around to it. I forgot why. Did I get caught up in editing or something? I don't know. Anyways, I'm back. Although it was real tempting to not record again today. And if I just stopped, would anyone care? Like, you know, it was just like pod faded. Just like, and like that, he's gone. I don't know. Whatever. But before we get started talking about Why the Last Man, which actually isn't that bad. Which is funny. It's like, wow, I had a lot of positive things to say last week. But now that I've marinated, I forgot what I was going to say. Let's talk about Transformers Prime. Transformers Prime sucks. Big fat monkey balls. It is horrible. It's not as horrible as Transformers Energon? I don't remember. The one right after Beast Machines. And then the second one right after that. I heard animated was good, but honestly I just gave up after those two shows. Where they had kids on, and little mini-cons, and it was weird. So, let's go over the problem with Transformers Prime. Spoiler alert, I guess? Whatever. The last time we saw a CGI animated Transformers show was all the way back in Beast Machines. And I didn't much care for the Beast Machines CGI. I thought it was rather ho-hum. It might have been the environments. It was all at night on a desolate Cybertron. But I thought it was worse than Beast Wars Seasons 2 and 3. Oh, lo and behold, what, 15 years later? Transformers Prime is worse. It has worse CG. It's like, you know, all the detail they put past, like, the first seasons of Beast Wars and Reboot, and even the first season of War Planets had really good detailed CGI. This is like watching the first season, but worse. Or it's like watching Toy Story 1 again, but worse. It's so bad. Just ignore that. It's so bad. It's like, how do you not improve the CGI? They probably make it faster. I should really mute my phone, by the way. Oh, there you go. Sound off. That bothered me. But what really bothered me, it has a lot of the similar problems of Beast Machines. So in Beast Machines, well, the characters went backwards. But we'll say Prime. We'll just say there's nothing before Prime. Although I think it is connected. There's like a sequel to the movies. But we'll just say there's nothing before it. So we won't, so the characterizations could be all new, right? But oh, I forgot. Oh yeah, Beast Machines also suffered a problem of there weren't really any bad guys. It's like they got lazy or it cost too much. The bad guys, it was Megatron, but he was like trapped. And then eventually they had three model guys. And then the rest were like clones of those three models. I don't even remember their names. There's like the helicopter dude, the jet dude, and the motorcycle dude, right? Oh, no, not the helicopter, the tank dude. Yeah, so Beast Machines, you have Megatron and Starscream. You kind of got Soundwave, I guess. He said two lines in the four episodes I've watched. So you got those two and a half, I guess. And then there's the rest are just character models of the clones. And you're like, what the fuck am I watching? What, like, are there any bad guys? Yeah. No, they're all like throwaways. It's like a bunch of clone troopers or stormtroopers where you're like, I don't really care. They're all the same. So that was a big minus, right? And it's weird. Like, let me go back to the CGI. The CGI is so simple. It takes place in America in some, I want to say, around New Mexico or Arizona. But this is what's weird. There's not much detail in any of the CGI, yet for some strange reason they didn't have anything in the background. So when you see them driving or flying or whatever, there's like no cars, no people. I'm like, are there like five people in the entire town? The answer to that is yes. And another thing that sucked was the voice acting. So instead of hiring, you know, voice actors that do different voices and stuff, they hired like known people. I mean, you have Peter Cullen, who's still good as Prime. Apparently Frank Welker is supposed to play Megatron, but he doesn't sound like Megatron. Some dude that did Wolverine in one of the X-Men or Wolverine shows is Starscream. Oh, Starscream's character sucks, by the way. He's really groveling. But you have Ernie Hudson. You have Jeffrey Combs, and not as much as I love Jeffrey Combs. I mean, The Rock was in it. It's like everyone is doing themselves, which is, it's very disappointing. They didn't act or pretend to be a voice except for Peter Cullen. It's like, oh, and then Soundwave's voice is not all Soundwave superior, Constructicons inferior. Well, that was a terrible Soundwave impersonation, but it's a weird robot-ish voice, I guess. I don't even know what this crap is anymore. But yeah, I don't know. It's terrible. It's terrible. What else was there? Oh, the plot. Like, there's some zombies, I guess, which is stupid. And throwaway bad guys, I already mentioned. Megatron's back. The plot's very similar to War of Cybertron, which was a great game. Oh, and RC, and oh yeah, the human boy, they have like some weird thing going on. And oh man, actually that is probably the most interesting if weird part. And there are humans in the show again, annoying humans. This Asian chick who wants to get in the battle, no, she's useless. This white guy who's kind of a wimp. And this little boy genius who knows more computer stuff than Ratchet. Oh, what? I don't know if anyone's listening. Anyone important. But, you know, when I was younger, which really wasn't that long ago, kids weren't in cartoon shows. I mean, yeah, in the first G1, you can say Chip and Spike and Sparkplug were there. But, you know, they weren't there as much. And they kind of did stuff, right? Nowadays, kids get in the way. Oh, and no one liked fucking Daniel because he was a whiny bitch. Kids, it's like Hollywood thinks kids watching this stuff want to be the kid. Like, no, you want to be Prime. You want to be Grimlock. You want to be Megatron. You want to transform into shit or shoot stuff. It's like the same problem episode 1 had. Or episode 2. The prequels had. Like, no, you don't want to be the kid swinging the lightsaber. You want to be like Luke Skywalker. You want to be Han Solo. You want to be Lando Calrissian. You don't want to be that little guy who doesn't really do anything and is kind of there and it's just annoying. It's terrible. So I'll probably watch the last part to these whatever storyline they have. But man, after that, I'm just turning it off. I'm very disappointed. Oh, and Bumblebee can't talk. It's like he's in the movie again. Although the boy Wonder understands him. It doesn't make any sense. There's only like 5 Transformers. 5, let me see. Prime, Ratchet, RC, new guy, and man, another guy. There's probably like 7 at most Transformers. 5 of them are on the Autobots. It's weird, man. I don't know. How do you ruin it? After every episode, it's like I gotta turn on Beast Wars to wash the taste out of my mouth. I'm like, what am I watching? Beast Wars had humor that wasn't like, oh, there's a little human in the way. Oh, it's just a little human doesn't get shot or stepped on. No. Like, there would be humor in Beast Wars, and then there'd be drama. Great characterization and detail to the character models. Ah, it's great. And there are people that haven't seen Beast Wars, and I'm like, what are you doing? That's the greatest of all Transformers. And there was this one guy, he ranked in post of his favorite Transformers shows. He was like, G1, Prime, Beast Wars. I was like, whoa. Like, I can understand people saying G1's the best. Having recently watched it this summer, as much as I love it, there's a lot of stinker episodes. But Beast Wars is the best. That's kind of a consensus between all Transformers fans. But, you know, if you like G1 more, it's understandable. No way in hell should you be ranking Transformers Prime above Beast Wars. It's right, quote, up there. And by up there, I mean down there. With Beast Machines. I don't know which is worse. Oh, that's terrible. I've only seen like 4 episodes. I'm watching one more and I'm out. So there's no news. So that's all of Transformers Prime. And as Optimus Primal said, well, actually, no, he didn't say. That wasn't just Prime. Because he would say that's just Prime, but the show sucks so much, it wasn't just Prime. Okay, go watch Beast Wars. It's great.
And now it's time for the rundown.
Alright, well, we're back. It might not seem like to you, but time passed. Chick's texting me. If I can go out on a date with this one chick, I had a bit of a crush on in high school. She's pretty hot. I hope you're not listening. Not that I don't have an ulterior motive for hanging out. Nah, I generally do, though. So, I'm probably going to edit this out. Hopefully, if I remember. I'm not too lazy. She's pretty cool. Oh, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, the Why the Last Man, Ring of Truth by Ryan K. Vaughan and Pia Guerrera. Let me try to recap. So, I honestly wish I had done this a week ago, because the trade is actually pretty thick. So, okay, reading the back didn't really help much. Okay, there's a... Okay, so they're on their way to the city. Or San Francisco, known to you folks. No, it's not called Frisco. Only people from out of town say that shit. So they stop in the middle of somewhere, I guess. And Yorick goes to a church to pray because he's upset after he killed that girl and he miraculously survived. And there's a chick there named Beth who is pretty hot. Surprise, surprise there. But she has a scar on her face. Whatever, she's still hot. Well, Yorick helps her against the Amazons. And then ends up banging her a few times. Which I was like, alright, finally grew some balls. And he's a big dick player. Play on, player. Yeah, so he sees her. And then eventually they go to the city. And this is where things get a bit weird. So, that group, was it last trade? That last trade? Yeah. So there's like another split group, Culper Ring. The ones who killed the weird S&M agent. They're in, they want something from, what's her name? 355. And meanwhile, Hiro is there trying to track Yorick down. So, they get something from 355. Or they steal something from Yorick, thinking it's a ring, and then he becomes sick. And they think, oh, that was the ring that protected him from the plague. But it wasn't. He had food poisoning or salmonella or some shit from a bad can. And 355, like, kills them. And Hiro, there's a misunderstanding. I don't even remember. They all die somehow. I think from Hiro at 355, she no longer feels remorse or something. What was I gonna say though? Oh yeah. So remember that ninja from two trades ago who your IOI was like, why is there a ninja here? What the fuck? So the ninja is trying to kidnap the monkey. And then eventually she succeeds. Here's where things get a bit weird. So, they all meet, go on the Golden Gate Bridge, and then the ninja gets away. Right? And, I don't know what happened. Well, let me read the back of the book. That shit don't tell me nothing. Okay, well, Dr. Man, the hot gay doctor, useless doctor. She's trying to build a cure in her lab throughout all this agent ninja stuff with the monkey. And it turns out the monkey's poo or droppings is what saved Yorick. So there you go. Actually, let me. What's the end of the trade? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, Hiro's seeing Victoria. I guess she really mind fucked her over. So she's seeing Victoria. No, she's trying to help people now. Let me see here. There's some backstory on Hiro about her medic stuff and how her fiance died and how she met up with the Amazons. The Russian or the space the astronaut had a kid. He's white, so obviously the black guy wasn't the father. Culperine. I think people are moving in next door. It's kind of late. What is that noise? What is that? Someone upstairs? Is there people actually upstairs now? Should I turn on? Whatever. Okay, so. I'm going to check after this. What happens at the end? What was that? This damn thing's so thick. Oh, yeah, so. The ninja went back to Yokogata in Japan. And it turns out, it looks like they're going to go to Japan next. Because they got to get the monkey. So, there is my shitty forgetful recap. Now, the trade starts off well enough. Yorick, I finally respect him as a man. He gets laid 2 years later. Don't know why he waited for so long. I guess it was because the whole S&M scene, last trade. Or you can be like, oh, his mind is better. He's a man now. Or it could have been that the girl's named Beth and he was really horny and she was hot. And she didn't even care that he cheated on his girlfriend. Now, I didn't get why Yorick went to a church. It's not like it was ever shown he was religious. And, the priests or father people are dead. And I'd have banged Bang Beth. She was hot and everyone else was hot. So, scar or no scar. I really wish there was average or normal or ugly looking people, but only to prove a point. Now, there was finally some background on Hiro's story, although I'm not really sure if she needed it. I mean, her character was pretty well explained in the scenes that she was distraught and then fell in with the Amazons, so there you go. I would have rather been more interested in how they deprogrammed her Hiro, but they didn't show that. And, to be fair, they, yeah, I mean, she didn't really do a good job because she's still seeing shit. So, what was showing is that Hiro's first sexual experience was weird. It's like she was 15 and the dude was like 20 and then he was nice to her and then she didn't look as good as she does now because she pimples and all that. And then she asked him to sleep with her and he was like, oh, okay, don't tell anybody. And it's like, does anyone in Y have a normal sexual experience? Am I the only one? Although it was kind of awkward. Actually, yeah. Well, you know, you hook up with someone. It's always awkward, right? Sleeping with someone the first time. And then if it's your first time. That really didn't last long either, by the way. No surprise there. It's a guy thing. TMI? Probably. So up until now, for how many trades is this? Wow, 5 trades. There hasn't been a reason as to why Yorick survived, but everyone else didn't. But his magic ring is taken and he gets sick. And then there's the plot with 355 and the splinter group with the ring, which I didn't understand. I don't remember there being a ring in the beginning. There might have been, you know, 4-5 trades earlier. Either, whatever the case is, that plot involving the ring and the people was boring, but it was cool because it had a reason as to why the men died. Like, but then they destroyed it. So I would have been more interested in what happens if they had returned the ring. Would the men have like risen and been zombies or nothing happened or something else? But, you know, they're both red herrings and the ring or the amulet, the ring. Yeah, the ring's destroyed. So it's a moo. It's a moo point. Moo as in a cow. Moo. Now, there's that ninja Yorick said he saw in Nebraska. Although I don't remember him actually seeing the ninja, if I remember correctly. Because I would have been like, that's a shitty ninja. But, you know, she kidnapped the monkey. And obviously I know Yorick's going to die. I'm not going to die because there's a few more trades. But, you know, one can only hope that he would die without the monkey's poo. Now, what I didn't understand is why Vaughn decided to give a reason as to why Yorick lived. And it related to the monkey poo. Because he doesn't give a reason as to why all the men died. But he gives a reason to why Yorick lives. And it's not even like, well, I've tested your... Let me do a Dr. Man voice. I've tested your DNA. Oh, that's terrible. We'll just do a guy voice. I tested your DNA, and you have some genetic anomaly on the chromosome, or this here, and a blah, 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 and technical jargon. Like, that would have been... made more sense. But now it's just like, well, I tested the monkey shit, and the shit is why you are alive, because of the shit disgusting technical reasons here. And I was like, oh, that shit isn't interesting either. Now, there were some plot points that made no sense and were annoying. You people might not get it. Okay, so the ninja kidnaps the monkey, right? And she's running to the Golden Gate Bridge. Which makes no sense. Apparently there's a port. There's like a major port. Not in San Francisco. Not in Oakland, Alameda on the Bay Bridge. Not in... where else are they? Peninsula, maybe? Well, you get my... No, I can't remember. Monterey? No, that'd be south. Well, you get my point. Like, north, there's like not a major shipping thing. So, okay, so she goes to the Golden Gate Bridge. She wants to apparently come visit me or go to Sausalito where they have fine dining. Whatever, right? Okay, there's no cars on the bridge. There's not even stalled cars, which is weird in multiple ways. You think they'd be... because they mention in the book that San Francisco has electricity. There are people. There's the trolleys, and then I think the fake trolleys, or were they the real trolleys? I think they were the fake trolleys, because there's only like two real trolleys now. Alright, so there's some electricity. You figure there'd be some cars. There's no like abandoned cars. The streets are cleaned. So I don't know how people get around here. So anyway, so she's on the Golden Gate Bridge. So the monkey screams out, right? And then these people are in San Francisco somewhere. I don't know where they're at, right? Well, they were in a building. They were walking. They were still on streets and shit. They hear the monkey. The monkeys and like and the ninja are in the middle of the Golden Gate Bridge. So the monkeys either A, really fucking loud, or they got like, I don't know, super duper Superman hearing to hear that far through electricity. It would have been one thing if there was dead silence. Through all the electricity hums, through the people talking, the chicks doing whatever. Even if they were like in, what was the closest? There's a, I forgot what it's called. Maybe if they were near Fort Presidio. I think that's where they were supposed to be. But even if you're for Fort Presidio, that's still pretty far. Not to mention the fog. There should have been a lot of fog. Because there is always fog. So they can hear it and then they run and catch up. I don't know how. It's, that didn't make no sense. I mean, I'm glad that was at the end, but that just yanked me out of the story. And then, if that wasn't bad enough, Hiro's also so close that after being drugged, she's able to catch up. She not only shoots, but she shoots the ninja's sword out of her head. Yes, I know she says she meant to aim for her head, which was dumb anyway, because when you, unless you're killing zombies, right, and you have to aim for the head, you want to hit the, when you're trained to shoot, you want to hit the center mass because, you know, this is the biggest target. But she hits the sword and breaks it, just like when she hit the tires with her little bow and arrow. That was dumb. And lastly, what else was dumb was that the ninja disappeared with the ninja smoke or ninja vanish. And then, like, you're in the middle of the Golden Gate Bridge. Where are you going to go? Nowhere. I mean, in the water, you die from that jump. So, I'm just like, what? That's all took me out. Because it was all lower hooey. So, she would have done, in reality, assuming they all caught up and found one another, she would have done the ninja smoke thing, and then I'd be like, well, she can't have gotten far. Because, obviously, you look down north of the bridge, you can see, especially here, there's no fog. So, you look south of the bridge, you're like, oh, she's not there. You look up, oh, there she is, up or down. I mean, down, you gotta hop. And then the monkeys, theoretically, should be screaming. That made no sense. That was a terrible way to get away. And lastly, the art's surprisingly better than the last trade. It's subtle. The art gets better. Like, unlike Transformers Prime or Beast Machines, there's more detail here. And even the body types are still slightly different. Not different enough, though. But slightly different. So, you know, I've given Why Last Man a lot of shit. Okay, plot holes aside, this trade was surprisingly good. Most of it was. So, on a Mark Critic score, I'm going to have to give it a 4 out of 5. Thanks for listening, everybody. I appreciate it if you left me some feedback on iTunes, and next week's pick will be The Unmen, Children of Paradox. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, or complaints, or whining, or whatever, email me at vertigocast@gmail.com. If you want to leave a form, or leave a comment on the form saying why I'm wrong, you can go to thecomicforums.com. And to see what's coming up, you can visit the website at vforvertigo.blogspot.com. I'm going to have to order more comics as soon as I get some money. And I'm also part of the Comics Podcast Network. You can check that out at comicspodcast.com. You can follow my inane ramblings and facts and thoughts of the day at twitter.com/hellsfire. And remember, you can't lose what you don't put in the middle, but you can't win much either.